This is Scott from Reno, Nevada, fan of the greatest jersey in all of sports, frankly. And by that, of course, I'm referencing the Arizona Coyotes Kachina jersey. Come on, Adam, you know it's true. And you are all listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, hockey fans from around the world. I am Richard Cote, the producer of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. It is, it's the first episode of the new season, and we don't have the first line with us. Boys, I think we've been promoted.
Yes.
I think we've been promoted.
It was always time.
We've been promoted to the first line, temporary first line edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast coming at you. I am joined by the publisher of ProHockeyNews.com, Lou Lafredo, and Jacob Doherty up in Edmonton. Lou, how are things in Albuquerque?
Well, the Balloon Fiesta starts on Friday, and summer fell off the map this past weekend. And fall replaced it right on schedule to the point where we got a little bit of rain. It's now the highs are in the mid-70s, and the lows here are dipping to 41. I'm sure out at the field they might be low to mid-30s by Friday. So
this is one of my favorite times back in New Mexico. Like, absolutely. Growing up, this was one of my favorite seasons. The air was getting a little crisp. The Balloon Fiesta is right around the corner. And maybe just like a month earlier, you have roasting green chili everywhere. So no matter what street corner you're on, you get the most wonderful smell in the world. Jacob, how are things in Edmonton? Have you ever smelled roasted green chili?
No, but I would like to say the mutiny was a success.
Yes, that's right. There was going to be a mutiny. We were going to be kicking Adam off the first line.
And we did.
Yeah, you threatened him at the end of last episode. I remembered that. Yes. Congratulations.
Never forget.
Yes. Oh, we're having fun at Adam's expense, and he cannot defend himself.
But
I do not have a rant this week. My rant was, my love of this time of year. Even here in Colorado, things are getting nice and cool, getting to comfortable temperatures during the day, a little cool at night, which is just the best for anything. I am not a warm weather person, which is a surprise of how I survived in New Mexico for so long. But let's get going right into some of the stuff we've missed in the off season. Now that we're back for our sixth full season of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. And I want to start with where we may have started last year and the Global Series. Last year, we opened the NHL season with a couple of Global Series games while the rest of the league was still playing their preseason. So there were a couple of teams who were, who had a record a week before the NHL actually started. Unfortunately, this year, we don't have that. Everybody's going to be starting at the same time. We did have a Global Series. We will have a few more games in November, but we did have some back in September. Australia, I apologize. You got a Kings and Coyotes preseason game. We got a couple of them. That's not showing our best foot forward for you, Australia, but you got a little bit of NHL hockey. That's good, but yeah, I'm sorry about the quality of the product that was on the ice there. Guys, takeaways. I know it's preseason there. We're still in preseason here. We'll be talking about the season ahead and making our way too early predictions. But it looked like Coyotes came away with one.
Yeah, 1-1. Coyotes took the first game. What was that? 4-2.
Yep.
4-3. Yeah, 4-2. And then Kings came back in the second one to even up the. I think both teams managed to take probably 60% of the opening night roster with them, so it wasn't a complete bust. You know, that's actually not fair to say it that way. if you watch the games, I thought they were entertaining considering they were preseason. And I thought the crowd at the Rod Laver Arena did a terrific job. Welcoming them and picking a side and cheering for them. So down there in Melbourne, where the Melbourne Ice and the Melbourne Mustangs skate for the Australian Ice Hockey League. So just a little bit of trivia from me. Jacob, yeah. What did you think?
I always am a big fan of having games in countries I don't really get to experience NHL hockey, especially Australia. They will never. It's almost impossible for them to watch NHL games with all the time zone shenanigans, right? So I think it's great.
Yeah, they see them tomorrow, so you kind of hope that they'll let you know. Tell us how the games ended so we know how to bet on them.
Right.
It's nice that the NHL is doing these global series, and they did a few in Europe in the last few years, right. Which is it's good, but we have a lot of European players, so it was more of a homecoming for a lot of those players anyway. Taking it down to Australia, I mean, there's not too many Australian players, playing professional hockey, let alone making it to the NHL level. In fact, I don't actually know of any Australian players who've
Nathan Walker.
Okay.
Currently right. in, just to keep it international, he is icing, I believe, for the St. Louis Blues organization, or was he moved out of St. Louis? But Nathan Walker is the most recent. He's skated for Arizona, Washington. He was in the Blues organization. So those three at the very least. He's got some talent, but I think he's down in the minors now. So he has stuck around in North America.
Yeah. I mean, we know of one player off the top of our head of however many we have in the league right now. So not many, not many. But yeah, it's nice to be able to expand into areas that have interest in hockey, as Australia does, as we've seen with the Australian ice hockey leagues. They don't really have much of a representation in the NHL or really internationally with competitive play. So it's good to see the NHL at least reaching out to those markets as well. Not much else to say on the global series. Like I said, we're going to have a few more games coming up in November. Those are going to be in Europe, so stay tuned for that. Another change in the offseason. We had a few coaching replacements, you might say. Some of them more notable than others. We had at least one major replacement in Columbus. Jacob, of the coaching changes we've seen in the off season, which one kind of took you most by surprise for needing a change of leadership?
By surprise?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I guess with the off season, the surprise of Columbus. I mean, that's an easy one, right? Like,
what was it? We've known about locker room troubles with Babcock when he was in Toronto. There have been rumors around. My surprise was that Columbus actually picked him up, just knowing what we've known for the last couple of years. But having to suddenly resign and be replaced right before the preseason, amidst more allegations, I guess that was the shocking part for me.
Yeah, it's really weird what happened there. Like, so for context purposes, it was reported by the Spitting Chicklets podcast that Mike Babcock asked for players to give them their give him their phone and to go and he went through their photos. And he did that to a lot of the younger players, which was leaked by a few people that I'm not going to repeat their names because they asked not to be named, but a lot of younger players who are new to the team felt really uncomfortable, and there was a giant power dynamic. While some players are fine with it, if you create a negative power dynamic right off the gun, Mike Babcock was already on a short leash. That wasn't going to end well, and I'm glad that they just cut him off immediately.
Yeah.
But I'm also concerned that they don't really have a plan for his replacements, and they're just going to ride out the season with their assistant coach at the time, now head coach, Pascal Vincent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Lou, how about you? Like, we're touching here on the Babcock issue. That's right. Kind of like the biggest name that's been at least tossed around with these coaching replacements and what ultimately happened there. What about you? What was the biggest surprise to you as far as coaching changes went?
I don't know that many of them were surprising. Columbus needed to change. The Capitals needed to change. Anaheim Ducks needed to change. So if you were to press me, I think it would be the firing or the mutual parting of ways between the New York Rangers and Gerard Gallant. That said, he was bounced from the playoffs two seasons in a row after taking 2-0 series leads in the conference final the year before and the first round of this past season. But there were also issues. I have tried to dig in, tried to find something, but he had, I believe, a physical altercation with Chris Drury, the general manager.
That would do it.
Yep, and you don't go after the boss.
No, you don't.
You know, and yet in retrospect, I think that action had to be taken because there's so much. David Quinn was a great head coach as a sort of bridge between the old guard with the Rangers and what was essentially three seasons ago. But he was incapable, really, of managing NHL youth. He was good at the college level up in Boston, but I don't think he could do it in the NHL. So Gallant coming in was viewed as that next bridge to success. And I think what we have discovered is that I think he has ruined, or nearly ruined, the kid line of Filippito, Kaapo Kakko, and Alexi Lafreniere. And I happen to like all three of them. Hedel, I think, is currently the best of the three in terms of scoring and his production. Kakko is second, and I think he's going to have a great year. But Lafreniere is the one that I think has been wasted and mismanaged and beaten down by Gallant. And I guess I was surprised that Peter Laviolette, late of the Washington Capitals, was brought in as the new head coach. He seems to be doing everything right, talking all the right things. But he's got his hands full. So that's probably the one. If it's a surprise, you know, it's a mild surprise. All of the other, you know, what other changes were there?
Well,
Nashville.
Right? I'll bring up one here actually kind of caught me. I agree the team needed to go in a new direction, but I don't know if the head coach was what you needed to change right away. And this may be an unpopular opinion, especially with you two here, the Calgary Flames and the firing of Daryl Sutter. He spent about three seasons with them, had a winning record. It was the Jack Adams Award winner 2 years ago. Missed the playoffs last year, which, you know, I don't think anybody saw Seattle, you know, playing as well as they did. They, you know, Calgary missed the wild card by 7 points. And they did lose some components. So I don't know if this was the exact time where you need to let that coach go. But like I said, that it might be an unpopular opinion amongst the crew here.
No. Jacob, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think he had to go. It was very, very obvious from the outside that he lost the locker room. When your two best players want out and the rest of your team isn't sure they want to stick around, you kind of have to make a massive change. And especially behind the bench, like, you have to try to make things right with your players. There were player meetings, even when he was, when Sutter was in Calgary, where he wasn't allowed in. And I feel like there was just such a big air of distrust around him that they just couldn't work with him. And when you're not playing well and you have a coach that is a lot more, is very old fashioned, like Daryl Sutter, it's really bad when you're not doing well.
Okay.
Yeah. And listen, this is, so what cost Sutter his job is the same thing that I think cost Gallant his job. The exit interviews, the player exit interviews were brutal for both of those coaches. But in particular, in Calgary, the players lambasted him in their exit interviews. And the Ranger veterans were equally rough with Gallant. And that's really what cost both of them their jobs. But I wasn't, I'm with Jacob. I was not... I think that parting was inevitable.
Okay. Well,
you.
Exactly. I told you, unpopular opinion.
No, it's not unpopular. It's just, I
didn't think it was going to move that fast. It was a couple of weeks after the season was done and he was gone. I thought they might give him
the ice.
I thought they might have given him a partial season to start, because I didn't know if they had any plan, like any set piece ready to put into place. Apparently they did. So,
Well, they just promoted his assistant head coach, right, or assistant to head. So,
if they felt he was ready, you know, plug him in. Okay, so going from old faces to new spaces, to new leagues, we had the formation of a new women's professional hockey league, the PWHL, the Professional Women's Hockey League. That was announced, I believe, end of August, beginning of September. I can't remember the exact date that was announced, but they will have six teams. The thing about that right now is none of the teams have names. So we're going to have three teams in Canada, three teams in the United States. There's going to be, I believe they are all former Premier Hockey Federation cities, Minnesota, the former Minnesota Whitecaps, the Toronto, former Toronto Six, Montreal. I can't remember what the old Montreal team was called. The Boston Pride, Boston's going to have a team. New York, I believe they are going to be taking over whatever facilities the Metropolitan Riveters. And I believe Ottawa is being brought in as an expansion. The one thing I kind of have a deal with they lost a couple of teams in Buffalo and in Connecticut. Connecticut, great uniforms with the whale there. But I'm going to be really sad if the New York team does not pick up the Riveters name. They used to be the New York Riveters, and they moved to the Metropolitan Riveters. I just think having Rosie the Riveter and the Riveter name was just so iconic. I absolutely love that. Right now, it doesn't seem like that's really being talked about with the formation of the new league. But if I could put in my two cents, I would love to see the New York team keep that name because it was so, so popular with the previous women, professional women's leagues. But as we're talking about the upcoming season, yes, they are going to have six teams. They just had their draft at the end of September. They have 150 players who are going to be in this league. They're going to have a 24-game season coming up. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting action to see. And I'm curious. This is one question I actually need to put out there. If they're going to be keeping the Isabel Cup as their trophy, because that is also a fantastic trophy. I would assume they would, but you know what they say about assuming. Jacob, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Are you happy with the division of three Canadian teams, three US teams that the league has put into place for the upcoming season?
I think you have to at the start. I don't know where the Ottawa team's playing, though. And that's the only concern that I have. If they are playing in the Ottawa Senators stadium, I don't think that's a good idea.
I don't think they would be. I think the previous iterations of these leagues, they've either been using practice facilities or minor league facilities.
Well, they had a Buffalo team instead of an Ottawa team there. In the PHF.
Right.
So that's my number one question for Ottawa. But I do think having Montreal and Toronto obviously is a great idea. Minnesota, New York, Boston.
I know your feelings on Boston.
I think it's a great idea. I'm excited. And I think this is the best chance that women's hockey has ever had to succeed. And I just really want them to come out with the names and branding now that they have the actual players on the teams.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're dragging their feet on that. There must be some legal reason that they're just like, they have to wait till like a certain date because they're just going to take all the ones from the PHF or something. And they don't want to pay like a certain fee or something like that.
So to my understanding, and anybody out there, correct me if I'm wrong on this. I believe the whole rebranding with the team names, they're trying to find I don't want to say inclusive names, but just kind of different, more acceptable names. And not that there was anything wrong with the Pride, the Whale, the Buttes, the Riveters, but I think they're trying to find something more in encapsulating that that is going to be, I guess, more broadly accepted rather than, names that were aimed more towards women. They're trying to expand to, appeal to more people. And that's just my basic understanding of what I've seen here and there. I really think I'm with you, Jacob. I'm wondering why they're dragging their feet so long trying to put out the team names and the team branding. But I don't believe their season starts until next calendar year. So they do have a little bit of time, but I'm going to stay on top of this. I really want to know what these teams are called. And I really want to see some of the uniforms put out because Jersey Talk, that's what we're about here on the PHN podcast. Yeah. Lou?
Yeah.
Looking at the teams here, do you think we're going to see an expansion like we did with what was formerly the National Women's Hockey League or the PHF? Are we going to start seeing more teams added like a couple of years down the road with the expansion? Because I believe they had eight teams in the PHF before moving over to this new format.
I believe it was six.
They had seven. No, they had eight because Ottawa was the eighth team.
They need to add two more. And I would suspect this is just a test run. This is the off-Broadway season. And next season, add two, if it's successful, add two or four teams to get it to 10. And then this way you've got a division line of the top eight going to the playoffs. You divide it up and there are two that fall below the line, much as our Bangers and MASH history.
Yep.
But I suspect that this season is just a test run. 24 games, can we get through 24 games? I will tell you, it's already better than the National Women's Hockey League. I went to the site, registered, I'm already on their email list.
Yep.
I'm still waiting for that first email from the National Women's Hockey League. Sorry. I mean, it's just, point of fact. I have already contacted them about coming on, having me do an interview with someone from the league to get up on our site. But they have, I think that's tied probably to legal issues, as you said. Mm-hmm. I thought that assets and resources were transferred from the NWHL to the PWHL. So, there's all of that, but, certainly jerseys or, the sweaters are not transferable. I don't know. Everything else was transferred over. So if the Ottawa club is going to be skating up in the area, they might be over in Belleville.
Yeah.
Where the Baby Sens play. That's what I would suspect. As Jacob is saying, I doubt that they would, play to an empty arena. It's just not fair to them.
Right.
Not fair to any new club like that to put them into that kind of pressure situation. So I'm hoping for the best. I really am.
All right, Lou. And my last question here, do you think our 2021 Isabel Cup autographed virtual fan from Lake Placid is worth anything?
Is it worth anything? Oh, I don't know.
The PHF and the NWHL are gone.
Yeah.
Has it increased in value?
I bet it has.
I mean, sentimental value, it ranks high with me, but...
Reminds me, I forgot to do something in my studio here for the show. I'll do it for the next episode.
All right.
I have something that's going to be in the back.
All right. Gotcha.
You just reminded me.
Okay. All right. So we are waiting for the names of the teams for the new women's professional women's hockey league. We'll keep you updated on that as we move forward. And as we're talking about jerseys, great looking, not so great looking, we have a couple of anniversary jerseys coming up in the NHL. One, I know we're going to have a lot to talk about. And the other one, Jacob's just going to poo-poo the whole time. So let's start with that one. The Boston Bruins unveiling their 100-year jersey this upcoming season. They actually have three different jerseys that they're going to be wearing for their 100th anniversary. I'm going to start with Lou on this one. The three jerseys they put out a home, an away, and an alternate. I don't see the need for the home and the alternate. Both white jerseys, slight changes on the alternate. You have, instead of a black B, you have a gold B. You have 1924 on there, obviously the year that they were founded. And you got a little yellow on the shoulders. Other than that, I mean, it's your basic white home jersey. I didn't see the need for that if you were going to keep it that simple.
Well, they're needed if you want to make money.
I mean, there's obviously that.
What I'm trying to say here is I absolutely agree with you. And I'm trying to be as snarky as possible without being mean. but here are three jerseys that the entire intent is to, they haven't quite gotten down to lint in people's pockets yet. But these three jerseys might get them there.
Right. You know, they look okay. I know they're paying homage to what the team has looked like in the past, keeping things super simple. I think I would have liked to see maybe a gold alternate rather than a white alternate. But you know, maybe that's, they've done too much of that for the Winter Classics that they've been in and the outdoor games. So maybe that's just too fresh on people's minds. Jacob, here's your moment to rant about Boston's jerseys. What are your thoughts?
Ew.
Yeah. Well said. All right, moving on to the Anna. Do you have more? Do you have to elaborate on that?
Nope.
Okay. Moving on. We have a 30th anniversary for the Anaheim Ducks, formerly the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. And we see that with the purple jersey they're going to be using as an alternate this upcoming season. The Ducks 30th jersey. I'm on the fence about this one. I kind of miss the turquoise triangle that was in the background of their reverse retro that they had last year. Now they're going to go with a circular crest on the front. Same, more of a front angle of the duck mask. But I always liked the duck mask rather than the webbed foot in the shape of a D. So I don't know. I like it more than what they wear right now, but I think they could have done better. Jacob, your impressions. Yeah,
I'm not a huge fan of the circle, but I do like the logo. I like the jersey kind of. The colors feel a bit weird. Just like a bit too dark.
It is a darkened version of their previous colors, isn't it?
Yeah. I think a hair too dark. I don't know how to really describe it. Other than that, but it's still a solid jersey. It looks good, I think.
I think I may have preferred if they went like full Disney and gone with the ducks from the Mighty Ducks movies. But you know, that's my opinion. Lou, what do you think about these 30th anniversary jerseys?
I like them. If I were still collecting jerseys or buying jerseys, I might invest in one of these. But in contrast to you all, I happen to really like the current sweaters that the Ducks wear, both home and away. I think the color scheme is really attractive, and I think they did a good job on these current jerseys, but this 30th anniversary, that throwback to the Ducks. The Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Right.
Yeah. Can't forget that.
And I'm a fan of cartoons. So, anytime, this is why I like Jacob's, icon, but, anytime you get something that's cartoon based, I'm all on it.
I guess another thing that kind of throws me off is, you know, currently and historically, they really haven't worn too many sweaters with just straight bands of color, either going across the bottom or across the elbows there. And that's all you get with this 30th anniversary one. It's, I don't know, for a team that's relatively young and for one that's had like a lot of kind of newer designs thrown into their jerseys, to have something look more vintage than the team actually is, I think that's what's not doing it for me.
Oh.
And it almost looks like the Pittsburgh Penguins outdoor jerseys, the powder blues that they wore for their first outdoor game.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Interesting. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective, but, yeah, I'll go with that.
I mean, no, I'm seriously, not here to convince
it's such
you.
A young team. No. It's, you're right though. It is such a young team. You would think that a more updated vintage would be good because as you said, I mean, 30 years ago is, although probably half their fan base wasn't born 30 years ago, right, as you know, someone on our staff.
I remember back in my day.
Yeah, 30 years ago, last time the Rangers won a Stanley Cup.
We're not going to dig that deep there, Lou. We're not going to dig that deep. All right. So a couple of new jerseys. There's going to be a few others going out, of course, for the Heritage Classic. Both the Flames and the Oilers are going to be...
They're already out.
Right. They're going to have those jerseys for the Heritage Classic.
Yes.
I mean, Jacob, can I interest you in talking about the Edmonton Oilers jersey since you had to give your opinion on the Boston Bruins?
Also, you.
It's just awful.
I don't understand why.
You had two jobs, one job for each team. How did you bugger that so badly?
I mean, it's metallic raindrop, but you know, it's
that's at least unique and cool somewhat. That's fine. This we don't talk about this anymore.
Jeez. Oh God, it's absolutely dreadful.
At least Calgary's look.
I was going to say, who won in the battle of the jersey here, Edmonton or Calgary? I think the clear answer is Calgary.
Is it a competition?
I mean, the game will be.
Yeah, but the jerseys aren't.
Jersey talk. This is our bread and butter, Jacob.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a competition, and Calgary clearly won.
Yeah. 10-0.
Yeah. if you haven't seen those, go look them up or wait till the Heritage Classic and save the surprise, because I think most people will agree on Jacob's take on the... I don't know, it's not that bad.
Yes, it is. Have you seen the pants that they're going to wear with it?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's Mastodon leather.
With like blue and normal blue and orange socks too, like
yes,
just and blue helmets.
Yeah, it's,
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's it really. I knew Jacob would hate it.
Okay,
as soon as it came up,
I thought it was a fake one when I thought it was fake when I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay, one more, Jacob. One more comparison here. Would you rather have Edmonton's Heritage Classic jersey or the new Winnipeg Jets alternate jersey? I'll give you a second. I mean, it's to me, it doesn't scream Winnipeg Jets. It's more Montreal Canadiens, but.
Oh yeah. I actually like this. Yeah, no, it's neat. Mostly. Yeah.
Okay.
It's weird. It's one of those weird, neat things.
Okay.
It's weird, yes.
Cool. All right, moving on.
Wow. Jacob, you've just been burned.
I mean, truly, truly, Jersey Talk is our bread and butter, our meat and potatoes. This is what we live for. This is what we're known for. Our other thing that we are known for are our way too early season predictions. I have carefully copied over Jacob's template from last season and created a new little rundown for us to keep track of the upcoming season, who we think is going to win each division, who's going to win the Stanley Cup, and track everything here in between. I think this is a good spot to replace any picks for this week because we're still in preseason. The picks mean nothing, not that they really mean anything for us. And I see Jacob's already filling things out here very inaccurately, I might add. So, Jacob, I'm going to have you take it away here. Let's start recording the substitute first lines way too early season predictions.
Okay, so hopefully one of us can go close to 500 this year. between the five of us on the podcast, hopefully one of us, because in the 2 years that we've done this, the way too early season predictions, the closest we've gotten was last year with Wani getting 5 of 12 correct. So, yep. Same format as last year. Who do you think is going to win the Atlantic? Boo, I will start with you.
Who's going to win the Atlantic? Maple Leafs.
Okay. Richard?
I don't want to be the same as Lou. but I know it's not going to be Boston. The Atlantic, I don't know. Maybe it's just because they got off to a really hot start. Like, they finished really hot last season. I'm going to go Florida Panthers. I think they're going to win the division.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's... Yeah, I'm kind of considering going Florida, because I was going to go Toronto as well with Lou, because I think, but now I'm afraid of both teams' goaltendings, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Vasilevskiy for Tampa Bay is out for a while, and they don't really have a replacement for him to hold the fort until he's back. I'm going to go Toronto. I'll stick with my gut reaction for that.
Okay.
But our next division is the Metro. And Richard, I'll start with you this time.
The Metro. This is going to be a tough one. I think the Bunch of Jerks win it again.
Okay. Lou?
That's who I've got too. They've got three goaltenders. They're going to have that three-headed monster this season. I don't know how they're going to manage it, but they will once again disappoint in the playoffs.
Oof.
Exiting first round? Oh, we'll get there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go a bit different. I've always liked the New York Rangers. Hopefully, I think they get out to a really good start this season and just keep going. Carolina's not starting the season with Smashnikov, so I think he's coming in at least a few weeks into the season. So I think Carolina might start a tiny bit slower offensively, and I think New York's just really going to be sold out of the gate. We'll see what happens, but I think New York's going to be a good team. Okay, and for the Central Division, Richard.
Central Division. This is the division that I think has improved the most over the offseason. I don't know how to gauge this one, but I'm going to just take a stab and say Dallas is going to win the division.
Okay. And Lou?
Really, this one's just a giant dartboard. St. Louis and Nashville and Arizona.
And Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg I think has a shot, but Lou.
So now I'm going to be snarky and say I don't want to pick what Richard is picking. Because having gone through all of the season previews so far, I do think that Dallas is probably the most improved. Too many of the others have stood pat, but the one that has not stood pat was Minnesota Wild. So I'm going to take them. Just to be not to be snarky, just to be different.
I mean,
I feel like
Chicago has done a decent job of improving, but I don't know if it's enough to win the division.
Not even enough to make the playoffs.
Ooh.
Bedard is just too young. The sport has to stop putting the hopes and dreams and desires of a fan base and organization on the shoulders of a 19-year-old.
But they also have Taylor Hall too.
Well,
I knew I'd get you with that one.
Okay.
Jacob.
I really like the addition of Matt Duchene and Evgeny Dadonov. And I think that's going to help them a lot this season. Plus Jake Ottinger has been playing really well, so I'm going to Dallas for this one. And for the Pacific, Lou, I'll start with you this time.
Boy, it's hard to argue against Vegas for me. So I'm giving it away
Vegas is our last season preview before the season starts. But I would think that Jack Lima will have the Golden Knights taking the division.
Okay. Richard.
Well, I really hate, again, to follow Lou's Lou's lead here, but I can't bet against Vegas. They are looking way too hot right now. They're fantastic. I mean, the Oilers are going to finish second again this year in that division just because of Vegas. Connor McDavid's going to score 100 goals. He'll have a third of their goals for the season, and they're going to finish second place. That's how it's going to shape out.
Yeah, I think it'll be close, but I also agree. I think Vegas takes it. They're just such a complete team. Although that once again, goaltending is going to be a bit concerning, but it's also just as concerning for Edmonton. So I think Vegas wins it.
Wait, Edmonton has goaltending?
Well, they have goaltending concerns.
I had to guess the most goaltending they have.
And that's okay sometimes.
It's an upgrade.
Well, like, okay. Of the goaltenders in that division, I say, like, Jacob Markstrom's the best in Calgary. But then Calgary.
But I would, you know what? My second choice or 1B would be Thatcher Demko out of Vancouver.
Yes, also. I agree 100%. Yeah. But yeah, I guess we're all unanimous in the Pacific. So for this next part, who do you think is going to represent the Eastern Conference in the Stanley Cup Finals? Lou?
Who do I want to? Who do I think? I want the you know what, I just can't bet against the Rangers, so that's who I'm going to put down.
Okay, Richard.
Ooh, I mean, I've liked the Rangers for the last couple of seasons. I picked them to go to the Stanley Cup last year. Lou, they let me down, and I know they let you down too. I think they've broken my trust. I can't have them representing the Eastern Conference, even with their new leadership. I can't do it. So, this one, I think this one's just going to be more of a, you know, wishful thought. The New Jersey Devils.
Okay.
I hate you.
It's not going to be the Atlantic. I mean, as good as some of the teams are in there, I think they're just too either old or battered at this point.
I think Carolina would withstand. I think they had a really unlucky time with injuries last playoffs, and I think that's what they just didn't have that gear that Svechnikov would have given them if he was playing. And I think Carolina, with him in the lineup this year, plus some of the other additions, helps a lot. So I'm picking Carolina. And for the West, Richard?
For the West, As much as we talked about hating to go against Vegas, and Vegas at this point still looks fantastic. I think Dallas breaks through.
Okay. Lou.
I've got Dallas.
Really?
They absolutely improved. Cause let's face it. I mean, Matt Duchene moving over, and he was bought out for 2 years or 3 years. So he signed a 1 year deal with Dallas. You know, it's a contract year for him. So he's going to produce. And if he doesn't, that's the end of his career. So that's the reason. What about you, Jacob?
I'm going Edmonton because I think Edmonton has a better team this year. And I hope that our goaltending improves this year, especially in the playoffs. And you know, it's just wishful thinking. I think Edmonton definitely can get past Vegas because I do think that the goaltending from Vegas, I've already forgot his name, Aiden Hill. Yeah, right? I don't think that's happening again.
Flash in the pan?
So, yeah, I think so.
You don't have any faith in Logan Thompson to back him up? He played all right last year.
What's even happening with Robin Leonard?
Still injured.
Yeah.
Still in IR.
Yeah, it's, jeez. I just feel like Edmonton is just going to keep going and keep going, and they can break Vegas. I think they can this year.
All right.
And for your cup winners between the two you guys selected, Lou, I'll start with you.
Well, you can pen them in.
Okay.
Rangers. Yeah. And it's because of goaltender.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Shesterkin, and he's got Jonathan Quick for, you know, backup. Mm-hmm. How cool is that?
I think it depends on which Jonathan Quick you get for your backup.
Well, it also depends on the team in front of him as well.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the Jonathan Quick that sits on the bench, right? So that's what you're wanting as a New York fan, at least.
No, I think he's, as long as he's not seeing BBs, as long as he's seeing beach balls, and all he has to do is come in and win the backup games, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, Richard.
This is a replay of, what was it, the 2001 Stanley Cup between Dallas and New Jersey? Or was it two? It was 2000. 2001 was Colorado.
Yeah, I was there.
I don't like my options, but I got to pick one. I'm going New Jersey.
You know, you can change your options.
Yeah, but this is my gut feeling. I'm going to listen to my gut this year instead of my head, because my head keeps telling me, hey, by the way, I would like it for this to happen. Like, I would like Colorado to face New York in the Stanley Cup. I don't think that happened.
Well, for mine, I think it's going to be a repeat of 2006, and something's going to get broken. So Carolina.
Bunch of jerks.
Actually, I think there's going to be a new place to riot, because the Ice District. Anyways, if there's going to be a riot in Edmonton, that's where it's going to happen. Just saying.
All right.
So now for the other selections, the most improved team. So from the points of last season to this season, what is going to be the biggest point differential in a positive direction? So, Richard, I'm going to start with you.
I think this is going to be the easiest one to pick, and it's going to be the Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay.
With 59 points last year, there's nowhere but up for them.
Fair enough. Lou?
Vancouver.
Okay.
I just have that. You know, I picked them a lot last year, too.
That is true. I'm going Columbus, because they also had 59 points, but I think they got derailed early on by injuries.
Oh, 400 and over 400 skater games were lost last year.
Yeah.
So
they got dismantled, and I think hopefully this year there's a bit more to work with for them. Hopefully. It's not like they really sold too much, if I remember correctly. New season, hopefully a new chance to take a stab at it. We'll see. I do think they'll be better than Chicago. I just don't like Chicago. So, biggest loss. And do we want to put a rule on this? Do we want to make it so nobody can pick Boston? Because Boston's an easy win, because there's no way in hell they're getting anywhere near 135 points.
But is it going to be bigger than any of the other teams dropping off? Like, I don't know if the Islanders have a catastrophic fail. They could lose 30 points. And if Boston's still able to get, like,
I don't think
100 points, that's, you know.
Up to you.
It could happen. I don't think we need to make that rule, but I think it is going to be unanimous Boston across the board.
Yeah, I was just saying it so we don't have that.
So Boston is a Baston is not pickable.
Yes.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay, yeah, put
it's just so it's not there. Unanimous, right? Because yeah, like everyone's
biggest gonna... drop outside of Boston.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay.
Wow. They're going to drop below 91 points?
With Eric Carlson?
The team is just too old. It's diminishing returns. And what's his name? Kyle Dumas, general manager from Toronto. He's just spent them into the same position that the Maple Leafs were in by bringing Carlson in. And Carlson is 35?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, nothing against Eric Carlson, but, you know, he needs to be a leader on a young team that, you know, he can provide some mentorship to.
It's actually 33.
Oh, 33. Well, yeah. But still, Pittsburgh has failed to make the tough decisions.
Well, just got to double down until you have nothing left.
Richard. Exactly. I'm going to go with the Nashville Predators.
Oof. Okay.
I mean, any help that they could bring in is now being handcuffed because of the buyout of the Matt Duchene contract.
Yeah, but I don't think it's too bad.
I think it's a couple million for the next few years, and then it shoots up.
Well, it's $2.5 million this year, then $5.5 next year, and then $6.5 the year after that goes down to one.
I mean, when you have a full roster and you're looking to bring in a player, that $2.5,
yeah,
that definitely helps out. So, I haven't seen anything from that team that excites me about the upcoming season.
Interesting.
No moves that they've made that make me think that they're getting better. I don't think they're getting better. And the rest of that division, minus Arizona and possibly St. Louis, is going to be a lot tougher than they were last year.
Yeah. Oh man, that's actually a good pick.
I think Arizona's going to be a better team this year.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, I think they'll be far more competitive. I think Andre Tornby, I can never pronounce his last name, head coach. I think Tornby, that's it. I think he's got a better handle. He was just given a contract extension, so there's some stability there at head coach, and I'm pretty... I, if they get off to a slow start, I'd be disappointed, but I think they'll be competitive this year.
Okay.
It's not going to be an easy 2 points.
I think Winnipeg is going to be the biggest drop, personally.
That's a good one, too.
They really are in dire straits. They are running on fumes. They lost one of their best players in Blake Wheeler for nothing. Mark Scheifele is almost on his way out as well. It's not looking great. You can, with all the teams in the West, with all these really elite centers, is Adam Lowry a number one center?
On that team, he is.
Yeah.
But no, not put him on another roster. No.
Yeah. So I think they're going to drop a lot because they just keep leading. And they're just, more people are going to go out through the season, and I think it's just going to be a sell the trade deadline. But we'll see. I think that's.
And they bought 2 years of Wheeler's contract, or was it just one?
They only bought one, but they have 2 years on the books.
On the books. And he signed for $850 with the Rangers. Yeah. Boy, talk about a thumb in Winnipeg's eye, right? I would have played for $850.
Wow.
just to get out of here.
Same with Jonathan Quick.
There you go.
Two guys come in for, 1.7. I mean, Chris Drury. What is he doing when he's doing these signings?
Watch whatever he signs Patrick Kane for, just like league man Patrick Kane. Why not?
Why not?
Just, now for the awards.
Well, you said Winnipeg. I'm sorry.
Yes, I said Winnipeg.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So we have, to start out, the Hart, which is the league MVP, most valuable player. So Lou, I'll start with you. Who's the most valuable player?
I'm going to go with one of your guys, but it's going to be Draisaitl. I think he's the one who's going to make McDavid look good this year.
Okay.
Doesn't he make McDavid look good every year?
The problem has always been, and Jacob and I have gone round and around and around on this. This is the year that Draisaitl makes the biggest difference in McDavid's season.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And that's why Edmonton will go to the finals.
Yay. Wait, that's my pick.
I meant to say your pick.
Yeah. Okay, Richard, who do you got?
You're not going to like this. And it's pretty much the same pick I make every year, Austin Matthews.
Okay, good. I thought you were going to say Pasternak or something heretic worthy. But I'm going Connor McDavid, as always.
That's a safe pick.
Safe pick, I know. It's McDavid, come on.
It is.
Now for the Rocket Richard. Richard?
I'm actually going to have to agree with Lou. Dreisaitl's going to be setting up McDavid all season long. McDavid's getting the Rocket Richard.
Okay, Lou?
This is for the... most goals. That's right. Yes, McDavid.
Okay. Wait, okay, you're picking McDavid?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
My pick is McDavid. Dreisaitl's going to set him up season long.
Yes.
He's going to be teeing off and scoring goals.
Sorry, I thought you said Dreisaitl.
Yeah, no, I said Dreisaitl's going to set up McDavid. McDavid's going to score the goals.
No. Well, I'll pick Dreisaitl. just to make it. And I totally misspelled his name, but I'll fix it later. Okay, for the Jack Adams Coach of the Year, who's everyone got? Lou, start with you.
I'm going to be home with Peter Laviolette. I don't know why. I'm
pretty sure that's how I spell his name. Richard?
I'm going to go with the coach for my most improved team, Luke Richardson for Chicago.
Okay. Do I want to go? Because my first instinct is Rod Brind'Amour. I'm going to go with my first instinct, Rod Brind'Amour.
Okay.
Okay. And final one, one I just added last second, the Calder. Who wins the Calder and why is everyone going to say Bedard? Richard, are you going to say Bedard?
Oh, man. Caught me off guard with this one. I think he's going to have an outstanding season this year. Yeah, I'm going to go Bedard.
Okay. Lou?
Kind of hard to pick against him. The NHL has really pushed him out there to the point where you don't see any other first round picks. You really don't hear about them. So, yeah,
as good as any.
I kind of have I'm going to do something a bit silly because I want to be different. I'm going to go Luke Nyes because I think he's going to get a lot of playing time with a lot of very good players, and he's going to pick up a lot of points as a result.
All right.
Because, and I think Bedard's going to get targeted really hard.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that's it for the picks. For the way too early season predictions for the 23-24 season.
And I'll be sure and reach out to Adam and Lonnie, get their preseason picks. They're way too early preseason picks. We'll get those posted up on social media so you can take a look at those. And you can share your thoughts with us about why we're wrong and why you're right. All right, let's move on. Let's keep things nice and tidy like a Manscaped shave. Thanks to Manscaped, our sponsor of the Pro Hockey News podcast. Head over to prohockeynews.com. Use the banner ad from Manscaped to save yourself, I believe, what is it, 20%?
20%. Use 20% code 20.
Off your purchase.
Yep.
It's been a while since I've had to do those ads. I almost forgot to get one in there, and you could tell I'm a little rusty. But, you know, we're moving on to our final thoughts here. Jacob, what is on your mind this week?
Man, I am so excited for the Winter Classic, but school's got happening and the falls leaves are falling. So I'm just so excited for hockey. It's going to be great to get all my friends back together to watch hockey almost every night. And yeah, so I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited that the NHL is going to be trying to do a similar NFL Red Zone feature with their ESPN broadcast, and I really hope that works. But we'll see for that one. I don't know when that's going to happen, or if it is going to happen. I think they're going to try that out soon, but we'll see.
All right. Lou?
I'd like another 2 weeks off. that's seriously, that's my parting thought. I need 2 more weeks before the season starts. I'm not ready for it.
All right. I'm just going to kind of recap something that happened to me today. I took the Tesla out to the mountains for the first time. Actually really ever. I've never really taken it west of town here. Went to Conifer for a quick day trip to pick up something. And I realized that, you know, going up the steep winding mountain roads into Conifer from Denver, it eats up a lot of your battery. So I knew I had the range to get out there, picked up what I needed to pick up. There was a supercharger available, but I thought, nah, I'm going to try and make it back to town on the charge I have. The opposite side of going way up into the mountains is coming back down. And when you're riding that regenerative braking the whole way down, you tend to add a few percentage points to your battery. So I ended up back down to where I was in Denver with 2% more charge than when I went up the hill with. So that's just kind of a fun little thing about EVs is, you know, you always hear about charging at charge places, like charging sites, your house. Steep hills will also charge your car too. So that's my parting thought for this week. For Lou Lafredo, for Jacob Doherty, and for all of our sponsors, LDE Affinity Jewelry, Manscaped, the Chicago Wolves Merchandise Store, and My Custom Sports Chair, please visit all of our sponsors who do make all of this possible. Thank you for sponsoring us. And listeners, thank you very much for making us a part of your routine. And we will hopefully be together with Adam back here to defend himself from all these attacks next week.